Going to continue today in this teaching on false prophets. This one, I think, today is going to be rather interesting. Well, of course, I think they've all been interesting, but, you know, there's great, by the time, this message today has great potential to offend many people. And yeah, like, okay, well, which, let me say it like this, to offend even more people. But, you know, truth is what it is. That's just how it goes. Have you ever... Go ahead and turn over to 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll start right there. Have you ever heard a phrase go something like this? There's safety in numbers? Something like that? And generally, that has to do with, you know, a group of people are going to be less likely to get mugged than an individual. Women are more so concerned about things like that than men. And I understand that. You know, I don't have a problem going places alone, but women like to go places together. Like the restroom, for example. You know, I still don't understand that one. I just don't understand it, you know. But... I mean, what do you guys do in there, aside from the obvious? What in the world? I just, yeah, the lipstick and the talk about, yeah, we don't want to know. But nevertheless, there's a degree of truth to that statement relative to the situation. When it comes to prophets, that statement is not always true. However, a lot of people in the body of Christ haven't seemed to caught on to this. And what happens is, a prophecy can be given, and once the prophecy is given, many people in the body of Christ just flock to it. And I call that the herd mentality. There is a herd mentality when it comes to this whole thing of prophets and prophecy. I'm going to give you some examples in Scripture, but then I'm going to share some things with you that have taken place in our lifetime. Now, the kids, that's a different story, but for us as adults, it's taken place in our lifetime, prophecies that grabbed a hold of the body of Christ, not every Christian, but grabbed a hold of the body of Christ and had a major impact and affected a lot of people in different ways. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, here's what's happened. Elijah was told by God, go confront Ahab, because it's time. So, in verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now let me just share with you here. When you go against the grain of popular prophecy, you are going to be the one who's accused of troubling the body of Christ. You're going to be the outcast. And it may hurt because you may even have family members who turn against you. What's wrong with you? Why can't you see this? Why can't you understand it? But yet, Elijah looks at Ahab and he says, hey, this is not on me. This is on you, because you've turned away from the Lord, and you're following after Balaam. And he says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent out and all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Now, I don't know how many of the Israelites showed up. It may have been 1,000. It may have been 50,000. I don't know. The Scripture's not really clear on that. But it would have been a lot of people. Well, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. That is shocking. You'd have thought somebody would have said, well, we're following the Lord. Unless they already thought they were following the Lord. And now here's this guy, Elijah. He says, we're not following the Lord, but all the prophets have been prophesying. Our leadership says we're following the Lord. And so Elijah says, you're not following the Lord, you're following Baal. Now, what if you stood up in a church of 10,000 people where some strange things have been taught and prophesied, and you said, how long are you folks going to put up with this? Are you going to make a decision? Who are you going to follow? God or the voices of deceiving spirits in this place? Don't you think you could hear a pin drop? Because what you're doing then is you're accusing the leadership of that particular church of not hearing God, but following after, keep in mind here, not intentionally, but being influenced by satanic voices, if you will. Well, Elijah says to the people, look, and he begins explaining to them some things that are going on, and he says, you know, go get some animals for the sacrifice, and all of you prophets, get the animals ready for the sacrifice. And in verse 24, he says, call you on the name of your gods, and I'll do the same in the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Now all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now why all of a sudden are they in agreement? It's because they think Elijah's going to be shut down. They think everything's going to go the way that it's... Why would all of a sudden they be standing in agreement with Elijah? You see what I'm getting at? Why suddenly this change? Well, it wasn't a change. Well, Elijah said to these prophets, you know, get your sacrificial animal and get it ready and so forth. And so verse 26, they took the bullock and they dressed it and they called the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now, I want you to try and imagine this scenario. From morning until noon, they've got the sacrifice ready. It's on the altar. Now, this altar wouldn't have been just some little thing like this, you know, like this right here, a little small thing. It might have been every bit as big as this platform up here. And so there they are yelling, O Baal, O Baal, or you know, whatever it was they said. They may have said, O Lord, O God, we want you, we need you, you know, show yourself strong, blah, blah, blah. Now, these guys believe they're right. And all the people who've been deceived by them, they're thinking, okay, well, anytime now. Then they get desperate. And it says that here that they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now, that doesn't simply mean they jumped up on the altar, said, oh, come and show yourself. No, what it's talking about, they start jumping up and down, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been there that day, I would like to think that I would begin thinking, this is kind of weird. I've never really seen this before when people are calling upon Jehovah. I got some doubts here. Well, it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, meaning he's out taking care of business, or he's in a journey, like on vacation, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. So we've got hundreds of grown men jumping up and down on an altar, taking knives and cutting themselves, and blood is everywhere. Their blood would have out-volumed the blood of the animal they killed. Now, once again, I'm hoping somebody there was starting to think, I'm not so sure this is really of God. I don't remember Moses doing anything like this. Well, Elijah said, well, it came to pass, now look here, 29. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. All right, what are these guys doing? Well, they're making absolute fools of themselves, but they truly believe they are encouraging God to show up and do something. So here they are, all cut up, bloody, tired from jumping around all day, And they prophesy. I don't have any idea what they would have said. But they were saying something to reinforce what they believed and what they had been speaking to the people for who knows how many years. Yea, we say to thee this day how God speaks unto thee. And he says, they're prophesying. Well, guess what? Nothing happened. So Elijah says, all right, look, everybody gather around. And he says, I want you to get all, just a whole bunch of water, and just keep soaking and soaking and soaking the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and everything else. And all of a sudden, verse 37, Elijah begins to speak. He says, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. That had to be some kind of fire. And licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God. Oh, wait a minute. You mean, now listen, you mean God's word wasn't enough for you? You mean Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the law, and anything else you had up to this point, that wasn't good enough for you. You had to see the fire of God fall. You had to go through all of this foolishness. Well, Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Elijah was outnumbered by all these other prophets, and the sheer numbers of the prophets and what they were saying, plus the approval of leadership, had convinced the people that whatever these guys said was of God. And then a lone voice stands up and says, no, it's not right. What if the fire hadn't fallen? In other words, what if there had been some other kind of demonstration of power? Now, I know that God had prepared to move. He was going to. But what I'm getting at is, it wouldn't have mattered. If there hadn't been the falling of the fire, it would not have mattered what Elijah said. The people rejected it. He could have stood there and read to them the entire Pentateuch, and they still would have rejected it. He could have prophesied by the Spirit of God, and they still wouldn't have listened. Well, how do you know? Well, they hadn't listened to anything so far. Then the fire falls, and all of a sudden they're convinced. Oh, yes, God, you are God. You shouldn't need fire. You understand what I'm saying? You shouldn't need, the Word of God should be enough. Now, that lends to a lot of, how can I say this? That helps us understand even better why a lot of people are enamored by all this prophetic stuff. It's because the Word of God is not enough. And they're caught up with all these other things. All right, now look over at another one. 1 Kings chapter 22. In 1 Kings chapter 22, it starts out that there was no war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass, verse 2, in the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel is talking about there is Ahab. This is confirmed later on in this chapter. And the king of Israel, Ahab, says, you know, Jehoshaphat, you're going to join with me and help me take the land that belongs to us. And Jehoshaphat said, well, yeah, you know, I'll help you out. But, verse 5, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Well, verse 6, then the king of Israel, Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. When's the last time we saw something about 400 men? In verse 18, 400 prophets that feast at Jezebel's table. He gathered about 400 men and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Meaning, should I not go? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And so here you have 400 men, prophets. Victory is yours. God has given Israel that land. Now listen to this. God has given Israel that land. It belongs to the children of God. You need to go in and take back what the enemy has stolen from you. You follow what I'm saying here? Does that sound at all familiar? God has given it. Go. You're the king of Israel. Go do it. You'll win. Well, Jehoshaphat, something did not set right with him. And he says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides all of these that we may inquire of him? The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, now, Ahab, hold on here. You know, let's not get carried away. I mean, let's at least hear what the guy has to say. Here's what I find interesting. This identifies that there has been another voice speaking into Ahab's life besides Elijah. And he still doesn't receive. So anyway, Ahab sends message, you know, get Micaiah, bring him in. And so Micaiah shows up. And in verse 15, he comes to the king. The king said, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered to him, go and prosper. I can just hear the sarcasm in his voice. Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. The king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? This is amazing to me. He says, don't lie to me. You tell me the truth, boy. You better tell me the truth. He just got through telling Jehoshaphat, I hate this guy because every time he opens his mouth, he says something bad about me. Well, okay, you want him to tell the truth, but you can't handle the truth. And so Micaiah says, all right. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. The Lord said they have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. In other words, do not go up into the battle, because if you do, you're going to lose. And he goes on explaining the fact that all these people, all these 400, they are the voice of a lying spirit that's been deceiving you. Well, that didn't go over too well with the 400, because, verse 24, Zedekiah, the son of Kenana, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek. I mean, he smacks the guy and says, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? In other words, who are you to say that I'm not speaking of God? Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. In other words, you're going to run from death. You're going to try to hide from it. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, into Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow into prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Now, this is just so crazy because this is a message to us today. When you stand up and you refute false prophecy, and you just tell people, look, this guy over here, yeah, I know, pastor of a church of 35,000 people, but he's prophesied by a lying spirit. This is not of God. Well, you're going to be figuratively saying, you're going to be put into prison and fed the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. In other words, people are going to turn on you. But you've got to stand strong. Even if people don't want to hear it. Now, this doesn't mean we go around trying to correct everything. You don't go down to the Christian bookstore and stand out front and say, okay, this guy here is wrong and this guy here is wrong. Don't buy this book over here because don't do this, okay? Don't. You wait on the Lord. Just let the... Micaiah only did what he did because God was moving. Well, let's look at another one. One more here. Turn to Jeremiah 27. Now, I mentioned before that Jeremiah is an excellent book to read when it comes to learning about what God has to say concerning real and false prophets. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 27, God had told Jeremiah, I want you to put this yoke on, like a yoke that is used to put on oxen to control them and guide them when you're plowing the fields. He said, I want you to put this yoke on, and I want you to go before the leaders of Israel, and I want you to tell them that they are to submit to the king of Babylon and let this captivity take place. And if they do, I will watch over them and I will protect them. Well, long story short, that is what happened. Oh, another long story short, Ahab did die. So, God is saying, do this, be in submission, don't rise up, and I will protect you. Well, Jeremiah goes and he begins delivering this prophecy. We jump into the middle of it, and verse 13, he says, why will you die? In other words, if you don't do this, you're going to be in rebellion to the word of God, but also to the king of Babylon, and he's going to kill you guys. He says, why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against a nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Now, it's not that God was giving his stamp of approval to the paganism of Babylon, but what this was judgment on Israel for their sin and rebellion. And God is saying, look, you guys, you're in such rebellion to me that you've opened a door for this captivity. Yeah, if you had stayed true to me, this would never have happened. And so he says, verse 14, therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. All right, what do you hear today in the body of Christ? Okay, now again, these are not word for word things, but you'll hear people talk about prophecies relative to Satan shall not do this, the devil shall not do this, and the evil people shall not do this, and so on and so forth. When the truth of the matter is, nothing's changed between then and now. If you are in rebellion to God and to His Word, you're opening the door for attacks of the enemy, whoever that is. It doesn't matter. Look, this country's got a bunch of problems right now because of rejecting God. So, it happens. It's not like God has to say, all right, now, I'm going to bring out judgment. No, He's already revealed in Scripture, look, if you do what I'm telling you to do and you seek after me, I'm going to bless your land. I'm going to bless you. I will protect you. So therefore, He says, don't listen to these prophets that are telling you it's okay to be in rebellion to God because He's going to watch over you. For God says, for I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that you might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and to all this people, saying, in other words, Jeremiah says, I said to the leaders of the churches, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon, and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? So he's saying, look, you guys have brought this on yourself. Now you've got all these prophets that are telling you that what God warned you about years ago is not going to happen. And I'm telling you, God's given you a warning ahead of time. You open the door for this, it's going to happen. Now go with the flow, because if you go up against it, you're going to die in numerous different ways, and the land is going to be laid waste, etc., and so forth. Well, you jump to verse 28. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spoke unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people. So in other words, here you have this great big church service, and you have all the church leadership, and all the priests have come to town, and all the people have showed up, etc., and so forth. And here you have a voice of reputation, stand up and say, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Well, I can hear some of the people now, amen, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Within two full years, I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Well, that's pretty encouraging, don't you think? This is not too dissimilar to a lot of the prophecies that come forth about how the bad people are going to be put down and the good people are going to rise up. You know, to summarize it. These people that prophesy all this good stuff, all these wonderful things that are going to happen, but they don't tell you to repent. And they don't tell you to get the sin out of your life and to be holy as God is holy. Well, verse 5, Jeremiah the prophet said unto the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. In other words, he's saying, you know what? I hope you're right. In other words, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I missed it. Because what you're saying is good news. It's a whole lot better than what the Lord said through me. Nevertheless, verse 7, hear thou this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all these people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. In other words, okay, Hananiah, I can tell you're having a real impact on the people and they're buying into this. So I'm going to stand here in front of everybody and say, in due time, we're going to find out. We're going to know. Well, then Hananiah, he reaches over, he takes the yoke off of the prophet Jeremiah, and bam, breaks it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. So Hananiah, just imagine being there. This guy Hananiah, do you think he's having an impact on the people? Especially because it's what they want to hear. Everybody's going to be in agreement with a prophecy they want to hear. Well, then the word of the Lord, verse 12, came unto Jeremiah the prophet after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet of Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus, see, in other words, let me put it like this, guys. You had better pay attention to all of this. I know these are Old Testament stories, but all of this is prophetic for today. You had better watch out who you listen to and what prophecies you grab a hold of. Because a bunch of these prophecies that sound good are going to lead you, to paraphrase from verse 13, going to lead you into a yoke of iron. And your life is going to be worse than what it was before. For thus, verse 14, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Okay, so who's got the greatest influence over the people? Hananiah, and anybody who's with him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. When a true prophet tells you you're going to die, if I were you, I'd go dig a hole and get ready. Unless there's a provision such as, lest thou repent, thou shalt die. But if there's no provision, just start contacting everybody, you know, pay everybody back, do what needs to be done. Nevertheless, when you're outnumbered, the voices of the many in the body of Christ, and here's how it starts. It starts with, say, a Hananiah. Thus saith the Lord, and delivers the grand prophecy. Then the voices who like what they hear, they begin repeating it and reinforcing it. And nowadays, you know, they post all over the internet, so on and so forth. And it begins to sweep across the body of Christ. And typically or generally, what happens is these people now begin to get a voice on Christian television. And they're invited to the Christian broadcasting company, TV shows, and whatever. And you've had a prophecy. The Lord has revealed something rather spectacular to you. What is this? Tell us more about it. All of a sudden now, that network has validated what that person has said. And then this person, they're always going to use Scripture. Always. Somehow, some way. And they're going to tell you about prayer. They're going to tell you about visions. They're going to tell you about the voice of the Lord. They're going to tell you about, you know, I was translated into, in an encountered, and blah, blah, blah. They're always going to have some kind of something like that to say. Because they have to add substance to what they've said. And so they begin to, and thus, and yeah, yeah, the Lord showed me, and here's what's coming, and blah, 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 and here's how Scripture confirms, etc., and so on. So now all the people in the audience, oh, hallelujah. And then while they're in the audience, you know what happens? They flash the applause light. Did you know they do that? They flash the applause light because, and then they also play the recorded applause to stimulate applause from the people. Did you know that goes on? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been there. I've been on, won't say the network, but I've been on it before. And then all of a sudden, like, when it's not your turn to be on stage, they have you sitting behind the cameras waiting. And so somebody says something, and then the control room person pushes the applause button, and there's this applause and what have you, and then everybody sitting around just starts, oh, you know, joining right in. Yeah, that's what goes on. It's like a game show. They do that at the game shows. Do you not know that? Okay, now, I'm not saying that all of the people on Christian television are phonies, fakes, deceived, and so forth. I'm not saying that, okay? So I want to get that established. But when the Hananiah stands up and delivers the thus saith the Lord, and everybody begins to get a hold of it, pretty soon it spreads. It just spreads. And it impacts a lot of people. A lot of people. And if you don't watch out, if you don't guard your heart, if you don't seek God, if you don't stay in the Word, and so on and so forth, you're going to get caught up in this herd mentality. And you're just going to follow the rest of the herd down this path. It happens all the time. Now, sometimes I say things like that, it's an exaggeration, jokingly, and you can tell the difference. But literally, though, this one, for real, it happens all the time. Now, I'm going to read to you 9 different things that have happened in our lifetime, prophecies in the body of Christ that have swept throughout the body of Christ, and I'll let you judge as to whether or not they came to pass. In 1988, Edgar Wisenant wrote a book entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. And he did his study in Scripture, said it was going to happen during Rosh Hashanah, which was sunset from September 11th to sunset September 13th. And he said, quote, "Only if the Bible is in error am I wrong." 300,000 copies of his book were sent to ministers all throughout the United States. Now, I didn't get a copy. They left me out for some reason. That was back in 88, and this was before I preached my first sermon. And 4.5 million copies of his book were sold. Now, if he only got 50 cents per copy sold, that's over $2 million in his pocket. The world, now listen to this one, the World Bible Society was involved in printing and publishing his writings. Now, when this prophecy came out, I couldn't believe the number of people, Christians, that bought into it. Now, maybe you did, I don't know. Maybe, but that was a long time ago, all right? You know, almost 30 years ago. And you've improved since then. But if the rapture happened, we're all still here. So, I don't know. The Lord forgot a bunch of us. I don't know. But when this came out, there were Christians all over the place that were running up their credit cards to the max, and they said, we're going to let the Antichrist pay the bills. Yes. Yes, they did. There were people that went in and quit their jobs before September 11th, before that weekend, those dates. They went in, they quit their jobs, won't be here on Monday. One guy, I heard him say, I went and told my boss that I ain't going to be here on Monday, you know, because I'll be up in heaven, I'll be with the Lord. There were people that gave everything they had away, everything, their houses, their cars, everything, bank accounts, they just gave everything away. We're not going to be here, so we'll give it to all the sinners, and you know, anyway. So they gave everything away. There were people that had their pets put to sleep because they couldn't stand the idea, I'm going to be up in heaven and a little Fluffy's going to be starving down here. So they had their pets put to sleep. It was mania. Insania. I just made that word up. You can use it anytime you want. Well, it didn't happen. And so he came back and he said, I see where my calculations were wrong. It's actually going to be on October the 3rd. Well, guess what? October 3rd came and went, but that's the only thing that went. Everybody else was here. And then he came back and he said, well, you know what? I realize that it didn't happen. However, it is going to happen in a few weeks. I mean, the signs are there. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. But the herd mentality, everybody followed after this guy and this prophecy. Number two, in 1997, in fact, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 21. I'll show you a scripture this one was based on. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we see signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and we see the powers of the heaven are going to be shaken. In 1997, there was a prophecy that went through the body of Christ, and I vaguely remember how this was having an impact, but the prophecy said that the recent lunar eclipses are the last known astronomical signs that will precede a 7-year countdown to Armageddon and Christ's return to earth, which will take place within a few months of September 29, 2004. Okay, you know what? Nothing happened in 1997. And September 29th, 2004, which, by the way, in case you're wondering, September 29th is my birthday. So apparently, my birthday has a special significance in biblical prophecy. But there was no Armageddon and Jesus did not come back. Obviously. But yet, people jumped on this one. All right, let's move ahead to 2000. In 2000, there was a prophecy that spoke about the Great Conjunction. What is the Great Conjunction? Well, it's when Jupiter and Saturn move to be in front of the constellation Taurus, and they said that this indicates a return of the Star of Bethlehem, and there would be a great supernatural event was going to take place on Earth. Guess what? Now, all right, let me clue you in on something. Whenever somebody stands up and prophesies that there's going to be a great supernatural event on earth, now they can be right, but it's an easy way to come back and say, well, you didn't see it because it was in the spirit. Now, in some cases, that is true. I understand that. But it's an easy way to cover yourself when you blew it. There's not going to be a return of the Star of Bethlehem, okay? Unless there's some wise men out there that want to come and bring me gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, find a star and follow it to me. I'm okay with that. But you know, that prophecy, the great conjunction, all right, it came and passed, and nothing happened. Year 2000, there was a prophecy released, and I remember this one, that there is a hidden message in the Pentateuch revealing that World War III would start in either 2000 or 2006 and would involve a worldwide atomic holocaust. Well, 2000 and 2006 have come and gone. There has not been World War III. There has not been an atomic holocaust. Now, that doesn't mean there is not going to be World War III or that sometime in the future there won't be an atomic holocaust. I mean, things in the book of Revelation almost imply there could be such a holocaust. But it didn't happen. That's the point I'm getting at. It did not happen. In 2011, some of you may remember this one, Harold Camping said Judgment Day would be on May 21st, 2011, and the end of the world on October 21st, 2011. Guess what? It didn't happen. And we are still here. Now, some of you live a sheltered life, and you really aren't aware of some of these things. So when I tell you that these prophecies swept through the body of Christ and the herd mentality, people were following it, trust me, that's exactly what happened. In 2012, now this one, I'm sure all of you guys are going to remember this one. 2012, the Bible Code came out. How many remember that one? And it prophesied a lot of stuff, including that in 2012, a comet was going to essentially annihilate human life on planet Earth. Well, we're still here and increasing. And I was just shocked at the number of people who bought into that Bible Code book. You say, well, Brother Martin, that includes me. Well, throw it away. I mean, you wasted your money. Now, do you realize Satan can tell somebody who is listening to him, even if they don't realize they're listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? Even if they don't realize they're listening, a devil could say, hey, you know what? On such and such a date, here's what's going to happen. And so this person said, yeah, thus saith the Lord, on this date, here's what's going to happen. Well, you know, devils can impact things on this earth. So if I come to you and I say, hey, listen, and you think that you're hearing the voice of the Lord, on September 34th, yeah, I am going to, and I tell you what I'm going to do, okay? Then you say, yeah, I heard the voice of the Lord say unto me that on September or November or October or March or whatever, such and such is going to happen. All I've done is tell you what I'm going to go do. Do you understand this? Not everything. Okay, have you forgotten the magicians in Pharaoh's court and what they did? Do you remember that? They threw their staffs down and they became serpents? Guys, wake up! Now, that whole thing, the Bible Code, is a bunch of hokum. Because, I know, I hear you out there, it's a bunch of hokum. Because if that book was truly of God, then everything in it would be happening, or would have happened, and it didn't. Okay, 2013, you're going to remember this one. The Blood Moon Prophecies, remember this? And at the blood moons, I'm not going to mention any names, but some of you know. And that person, by the way, was not the only one. That person maybe just sold more books about it than other people. But in 2013, the blood moons signify the apocalypse. Now, let me explain this concept of the blood moons. Four consecutive lunar eclipses, each separated by a specific lunar cycle, is referred to as a tetrad. The most recent four were April 15th, 2014, October 8th, 2014, April 4th, 2015, and September 27th, 2015. Now, this was that's when the moon, it takes on this cast of, you know, orangey-red color and so forth. This was tied into, back in 2013, when all this stuff was coming up, you know, here's what's happening. It was tied into Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31, Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 20, and Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, where it talks about, you know, the moon shall be turned to blood. Well, they said that these tetrads, or this tetrad that took place in 14 and 15, the blood moon things, revealed and declared that there was going to be great disaster on planet Earth. Okay, but people all over the place jumped on this. I don't know how many books were sold. Christians all over the place were, you know, oh, the blood moon, the blood moon. Brother Martin, have you heard about the blood moon prophecies? Oh, Brother Martin, what are we going to do? Now, here's the thing. Now, listen to this. Listen closely to this. Astronomers, now, what's the difference between astronomy and astrology? Astrology is, you know, the witchcraft, zodiac, that kind of stuff. Astronomy is the legitimate scientific study of stars and planets and outer space and all that. Astronomers have confirmed that there have been 62 tetrads since 1 AD. The last one prior to 2014-2015 was in 1982, and the next one will be in 2033. So my question is, how come we didn't have the blood moon disasters in 1982? How come it is, when people were all blood mooning everything, nobody talked about all the other blood moons in the past? How come nobody brought that up? How come nobody said, well, I know this has happened in the past and all these bad things didn't happen back then. However, this time, now somebody could come along and say, yes, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. We're closer now to the return of Jesus. That's why the bad things happened this time. Oh, you know what? Back then, whenever the other tetrads took place, they were closer to the return of Jesus than history had ever been. You see what I'm getting at? These people that give these kind of prophecies, they're always going to have their out. They're always going to say, well, you misunderstood what I said. They're never going to, I've never in my life heard any of these people come back and say, guess what, folks? I blew it. All right, here's one. Most recently, 2017. Now, there are a lot of people jumped on this one. There's a guy, David Mead. He wrote a book called Planet X, the 2017 Arrival. And he claimed that on September 23rd, which was yesterday, by the way, that Planet X, also known as Nibiru, will have an encounter with Earth, that it's a sign will appear signaling the beginning of the end, though this would not be the exact date of the apocalypse. And this is tied into this passage here in Luke. So remember, Luke, this passage in Luke 21 was used back in 1997, and it didn't happen. Everybody forgot about that. Because now, 20 years later, we go back to Luke chapter 21 and use the same verses. Now, why? Fresh revelation. Well, it's not fresh revelation. And he claimed, well, he put this video out on YouTube and all this other, and anyway, he apparently, he professes to be a Christian and so forth, and he says that all this is established by the Bible because September 23rd is 33 days after the total solar eclipse. Jesus lived for 33 years. The name Elohim, which is the name of God to the Jews, was mentioned 33 times in the Bible. And he said it's a very biblically significant, numerologically significant number. I'm talking astronomy, I'm talking the Bible, and merging the two. Now, see, you can get out of that because Jesus said you can discern the signs and so on and so forth. All right, let me just take a little sidestep here. You had better watch out for all these Christians that are caught up in this numerology stuff. Well, the number 7 represents, and the number 6 represents, and the number 22 represents, and the number... Bull honky. I don't care if you are getting mad at me about all this. Bless God, the truth's in the Word. There's nothing, listen to me, there is nothing, nothing in Scripture where anybody got caught up with all the numbers. There's no instruction in Scripture, thou shalt count to the number seven times, and on the seventh time thou shalt see sevens in the sky. I mean, there's nothing in Scripture about the numerology thing. If it were that critical, somebody in Scripture, from Genesis to John in Revelation, would have said, beware of the numbers. Would have given us examples of this. But it's not in there. And yet you've got Christians, they're ready right now to give me the what for, and you know, just lay one on me. Look, where's the Bible for this? Well, the number 40, it appears many times. Okay, I am not going to dismiss that you do see certain reappearances of things in Scripture. I'm not going to refute that. But you've got Christians who take these numbers and start working with all these numbers. And then they come up with these prophecies. I've got news for you. Listen to me. Listen. I am waiting for one of these numerology prophecy people, prophecies, to come to pass. None of them have happened. None. But again, they always have their outs. Now, this whole thing about, what was that planet's name? Nibubi or something like that. Nibiru. Yeah, okay. Have you ever done your research on this? All you folks that bought into this September 23rd thing, which, by the way, since today's September 24th, it didn't happen. Are you? Oh, yeah, that included, there was supposed to be an apparition above Jerusalem of Mary or something. I don't know. Do you ever check into these things? Ever? Do you ever research them? Well, yes, Brother Martin. I went to every website that confirms this. Okay. Glory to God. I'm outnumbered. Huh? I'm outnumbered. Have you ever gone beyond that? For example, NASA, I guess NASA over the years, see this whole thing of Nibiru, it goes back, not just this year, it goes back I don't know how many years when people started talking about this thing happening, and every time they say it's going to happen, it's never happened. And I guess NASA got bombarded with this stuff. And so finally, the NASA scientists, they gave a public statement and said there is no such planet anywhere in the galaxy. It does not exist. They were hoping to shut this stuff down. Well, guess what? It didn't matter. You guys are in NASA part of the conspiracy. You're part of the Illuminati, aren't you? Yeah. It didn't happen. And along with that, this whole thing of this stuff in Luke 21, you know, they said that the sun is, excuse me, the sun will be in the constellation Virgo along with the moon near Virgo's feet. Jupiter will be in Virgo, while the planets Venus, Mars, and Mercury will be above and to the right of Virgo in the constellation Leo. It's like, what? Now, what I just read to you comes from somebody, and I almost thought about reading the entire article of how they prove this is wrong, because in order for it to be, like they talk about the 12 stars, and over in Revelation I saw, you know, the Virgin and the 12 stars and blah, blah, blah. They can't go with 12 stars because there are no 12 stars that fit that prophecy. They have to also include planets in this. And so they say, well, God didn't really mean just stars. He also meant stars and planets. Okay, you know what? Maybe that's true. But how many of you remember, well, I look across the congregation, there aren't too many of you going to remember this, but you've heard of it. In 1967, there was a musical that came out named Hair. Now, in that musical, there was a song titled Aquarius. It was recorded by the fifth. Yeah, okay, now some of you old people are starting to,
I remember that one, boy, back in the good old days.
And now, the fifth dimension recorded that song. It was very popular. Now listen to this. When the moon is in the seventh house, and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets, and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of... Some of you remember this. Yeah, all together now. Come on, altos, bring it out. This stuff that these Christians come up with on all this, it sounds exactly like that. Exactly like it. There's no difference. No difference at all. And so you have all these people that jump on the bandwagons of the planets and the stars. Now, I agree, there are going to be signs in the heavens, the Lord said so. But when you listen to all these planet prophecies about all this kind of stuff, have you ever done research to find out if this star constellation planetary alignment has ever happened in the past? Because almost every one of, well, no, let me put it like this. Every one that I have researched, they've all happened before. And because of the way the planets move in the galaxy, some of them align more frequently than others, and some, it may take 400, 500, 600 years before they align back up again. Or it may take 1,000 years. But what I'm getting at is, because of the rotation, the movement, everything of the planets in the galaxy, the stars, all this kind of stuff, it's inevitable these things are going to happen again, sooner or later. But nobody does research. Well, not everybody doesn't do research, but there are a lot of people who don't do research on this. They just, mob mentality, jump on this. And if you don't go along with it, then, well, you're the weirdo. And I've been labeled, you know, nobody's actually said you're the weirdo, but people have been upset with me because I haven't gone along with some of these things. And when I've tried to lovingly present the fact that it can't be true because of, you know, I'm the bad guy now. Okay, now, the ninth one. I said I was going to give you nine. Here's the ninth one. Every presidential election, prophets come out of the woodwork. Some that are new, some that are very well known, and prophesy so-and-so is going to win. One preacher, I won't give a name, because no way do I want to lend credence to this guy's ministry, but one preacher actually posted this big thing on his website that, you know, so-and-so is going to win. Well, Hillary Clinton was going to win. Well, you know, she didn't. And mysteriously, that posting disappeared from his website. And to my knowledge, he has yet to come forward and say, you know what, I thought I heard God, but I didn't. I mean, God, he's out there. And so all nine of these, there's a bunch more. I mean, there's a bunch more out there. But like I said, I have yet to hear anybody publicly stand up and say, I misprophesied.
Well, what about you, Brother Martin? Over the years, you've done a lot of, yeah, thus saith the Lord things. You ever missed it?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, and I'm going to tell you all about it. In November, I didn't actually go back and listen to the prophecy, but I figured it out by way of the date of the event. You'll understand. In November of 2003, it was on a Sunday morning, I was standing here. The Lord moved, and I began to deliver this prophecy. It was kind of lengthy, if I remember correctly, but part of it stated, now here's how I worded it, okay? Within 12 months, there's going to be, and I said something along the lines of a major natural catastrophe, disaster, something like that. And so when that was over, I'm like, boy, did I actually say that? So over the next 12 months, I'm watching. You know, nothing happened. Well, that was November of 2003. But then on December 26, 2004, there was a 9.3 earthquake that took place at the floor of the Indian Ocean. The resulting tsunamis were up to 100 feet high, which is 30 and a half meters. Those tsunamis hit 14 different countries. The total dead numbered about 280,000 people. And some islands were totally, completely submerged and have never been seen since. Now, here's how these kind of prophecies work. Sometimes you hear a word for word from the Spirit of God, and you basically repeat the word for word. Sometimes He drops the message in you, and then you just give the message, but it's not a word for word thing. Then sometimes you have a vision, and you're explaining this vision that you see. Other times, He can drop like the concept of something in you, and then you have to explain that concept, or you put it forth. Now, in this situation, I misspoke what I, quote, heard. I should, to have said it correctly, I should have said, in the next year. Which, 2004, this was November 2003 when I said that, in the next year, it was right. Because it happened December 26, 2004. But I said 12 months, if I remember correctly, I said 12 months. So in that respect, yes, I was wrong. But I was right concerning the prophecy itself. I was wrong how I specifically worded it. I misworded what I spoke. So in that respect, yes. You know, I missed it. I said 12 months. I should have said in the next year. But that's the only time that I know of where the Lord has moved through me, and it's been wrong. I'm not tooting my own horn. I mean, I'm just telling you. Now, turn over to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Now, a lot of people who have heard this sermon today, you know, you might be kind of upset with me because of some of these things that I've revealed as being wrong, but you were so enamored with them. Well, you know what? You weren't alone. But, you know, don't get upset with me because a prophecy you believed and spread turned out to be wrong. You know, don't get upset with me about that. But what I would say is this, you know, well, first off, let's read Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 32. Jesus says, now he's talking about his return and so forth. You can see this worded differently over Matthew 24. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Okay, for crying out loud, all these people out there that say the Lord's coming back on, you know, November 82nd, 2000. Okay, when they say things like that, how in the world does the body of Christ grab a hold of it when Jesus himself said nobody knows? When he said nobody knows, what's he say right here? You don't know the day or the hour. You don't know. Nobody knows. And guess what? Nobody's going to know. God is not going to reveal this to anybody. He says, watch and pray. What does that mean? It doesn't mean look in the heavens, you know, for the constellations and the stars and all that. No, what he's talking about is keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ, being focused on that relationship with him, and pray. Be strong in the Spirit and be firm in your walk with Jesus Christ. Be ready for the return because you don't know when it's coming. If I come to you and I say, now listen, I'm going to be coming by your house within the next 3 days. Now, I don't know which day for sure, but I'm coming by your house within the next 3 days. Okay, what are you going to do? You're going to go home and clean the house, are you not? Because you don't know. You don't know. And so, I don't come until the third day. It's like, but you are ready, right? Well, if I tell you, okay, I'm going to be at your house Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. You're going to wait until Thursday, 6:30 p.m. to clean the house. In other words, now listen to me, you're going to leave the dirt all over until you know you better get it together. Well, guys, I've got news for you. You better clean the dirt up now, and you better get it together now because you don't know the day or the hour. You better be ready. And even Jesus said, you know, when I come back, am I going to find faith? What does that mean, find faith? He's not talking about, you know, well, are you going to be, you know, a faith giant in the world? No, he's talking about faith concerning your relationship with him. Are you going to be walking by faith in him, the sum total of your life? Will it be a demonstration of your love for Jesus Christ? You've got to stay in the Word. You've got to stay in the Word. You've got to stay in prayer, especially praying in tongues. You've got to stay in worship and at least be, you know, sincere about your worship when you come to church. If you don't do any worship at home, when you come here, at least make it real. At least focus on it. And yeah, fasting helps as well. And stop following every wind of prophecy. Stop it. Just stop it. No matter how exciting it sounds, stop it. Stay in the Word. Stay focused on the Lord. And number six, use some common sense when it comes to these prophecies. Use common sense. 88 days from the Lord's coming back. People mess their lives up big time because the Lord didn't come back, and some of them are probably still trying to pay off all those bills. It's nuts. Use some common sense. Well, this planet's going to do this and move in front of that. It's going to, oh, Brother Martin, did you hear Brother Waggletongue's latest prophecy? Why, he was on TV last night. It was incredible. And he had all this scripture. And he said that Saturn and Mars and the planets, Neptune, they're all going to line up right there in front of Uranus. And something incredible is going to happen, Brother Martin. Something's going to be released into the earth, Brother Martin.
I don't believe he said that. I simply do not believe he just said that.
What are you talking about? The planets are the planets. I didn't name them. You need to ask yourself a question. Has there ever been such an alignment in front of Uranus before? You need to ask yourself. Do some research. I ain't never coming back to this church. Yeah, you will. Do some research. Seriously, just find out. Has this ever happened before? Is there a record of this? Don't jump on these bandwagons. Don't get caught up in that herd mentality. Don't. Seek God. Seek God. Don't let your emotions dictate. Stay focused on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Mature in that walk. And, you know, people give prophecies. Well, praise. Look, if people say, well, the Lord's coming back, such and such, it's like, well, okay, praise God. But between now and then, I'm going to serve Him. And if He doesn't show up, guess what? I will keep serving Him. But whether He shows up or whether He doesn't, does not change the fact I'm focused on Him. Now, if you want to chase after every prophecy, man, that's totally up to you. But it's for, you know, for me and my house, you know, we're going to serve the Lord, not the prophecies. Praise God. Well, we're not totally done with all of this teaching yet, but for right now, go ahead and stand. Brother Barry, I just have no idea why everybody was laughing there a few minutes ago.